You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's Doug, it's Tim, and last and certainly least, it is Tyler. How you guys doing? It is Championship Sunday. We've already got one team that has cemented their way into the Super Bowl. And guess what? It's Tom Brady, his 10th Super Bowl. Absolutely phenomenal. The GOAT is back in the big game. And it's in Tampa. So the first time ever we are seeing a team be the home team in a Super Bowl. So just another first for Tom Brady. You know, he's got a laundry list of them. So that's pretty cool. Currently, as we're recording, the AFC Championship game is going on. But this week, we are going to bring you some news and notes. We are going to give you our players to buy. And then we're going to break down some startup strategy around single QB versus Superflex. And we're going to talk a little bit of tight end premium strategy as well as we get into it. But first, I want to hear from Tyler. And Tyler, Minnesota, it's really cold from what I hear right now up there.
It's actually not too bad. I turned on the 18? Grill today. I turned the grill on today. I actually had no shoes on outside grilling, like no socks or shoes. My feet were in the snow. Still can't feel my feet.
And now you have like, one toe left. Congratulations.
Like going full Mr. Deeds, how his foot is just frostbite and it's just black. That's what it kind of is. No. I was out there with a grill and it was the best thing. My youngest daughter, who is like 1 and 4 months, I had snow on my feet and I came back in. There was wet snow all over the wood floor. What does my little daughter do? She's got this little towel, like a little towel. And then she starts cleaning the floor, just starts cleaning, wiping the floor off. And she's being so particular about it. She's making sure everything is gone. And it was like she was grown up. She was legit just do. And then all serious face, no smiling, no laughing, just making sure every little spot was taken care of. I thought it was the cutest thing ever.
Future custodian.
Yeah. I mean, taking after me. I am a janitor. There She's learning.
Custodian, dick.
Except I learned for it by me, watching you.
Except for me, instead of water, it's like blood and all that fun stuff. So
yeah. Feces. All the other kind of fluids. Tim, what's going on with you in Pennsylvania?
Nothing. Sat and watched most of the NFC Championship game. As you said, Mr. Brady's back. 47% of the time that he's been in the NFL, he has made it to the Super Bowl. So 47% of the time works every time.
For Tom Brady. There's been 55 Super Bowls, and this will be his 10th. That's insane.
That's okay. It's just under 20%, like 17% of the Super Bowls.
Tom Brady's stupid.
So also, I was watching a snap, and it's called Gym and Fridge, and they had Tom Brady in it. Okay, that guy has everything. Like, let's be honest, and he's so fun to listen to because he's so positive and so upbeat when he's talking to people. It's just like, okay, I get why you're so upbeat and happy because you have everything. They're like, oh, we're going to Tom Brady's gym on an island. First of all, like, what?
I mean, this guy doesn't even make the most money in his whole family. So, like.
Yeah, that's insane. And then they were talking about,
I can totally relate.
You're trapped on a desert island. Who are you staying with? He's like, Giselle, my wife. I mean, we have a good time. And I'm like,
pfft. What are you insinuating, Tom?
Yeah, most people want to have their own home gym. Tom not only has his own gym, he also has it on an island.
On an island. And in his fridge are all these fruits, not just apples, exotic fruits, like fruits that are probably like $50 a damn fruit, and he's just sitting there chilling in his fridge.
I'm gonna eat my golden dragon fruit. Ooh, wait a minute, it's too acidic. That's not good for my pliability.
Yeah, and then they talked.
Fire the chef.
They talked like, "What do you do for your cheat days?" And he like looked at the camera. He's like, "Cheat days? Come on, get out with those cheat days."
I eat
days.
Almond butter.
I have rice cakes with a little bit of almond butter.
Wait, that's
his
too bad.
Famous thing here that they always used to talk about on the radio was him eating avocado ice cream was like his healthy thing. Oh. I don't know what that tastes like. I'm not rich enough to know what.
I love avocados and I love ice cream.
So I bought mayo from Costco one time, and it's avocado oil mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Legit, you spread it on bread, and within a minute, it turns to like melted margarine. Like, I don't know if that's good for you.
It's like when a fresh avocado like hits you can't leave it out too long because it browns too fast.
Yeah, the second it hits air, it's just brown.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be encased, not free.
It's also like apples. I mean, you leave apples out for two minutes. They're brown. It looks like the witch gave it to you and put a spell in it, poisoned the apple.
Nice, nice. Well, let's get into some football talk. By the way, I had a good weekend. I had the night away with the wife up in New Hampshire, so that was a lot of fun. Had some nice dinner. We went to a place where we had our wedding reception. Went out of business. They reopened like 13 years later, a restaurant. So we went there, and it was just as phenomenal as when we went there when we got married, and then we celebrated our anniversary a couple years after. So that was my weekend. It was awesome. Needed some time away. Very happy. So let's get into some NFL news. Just yesterday, it was brought to our attention that Matt Stafford has talked to his new GM. And some of the other people on that team and said, you know what, like, it's been a good run, Detroit, but I think it's time for me to move on. And I think we can all agree that Matthew Stafford is one of the more talented quarterbacks in the league, but that situation has been up and down his whole career. I mean, obviously, he's played with some great players with Calvin Johnson. You know, he's had Kenny Golladay the last few years when he's been healthy. They draft Hawkinson in the top 10. They have DeAndre Swift. Just whatever it is just never come together fully for Stafford. Maybe it's an offensive coordinator issue. Who knows? But Matt Stafford's most likely going to be on the move. So I want to go with Tim. Tim, where would you like to see Matt Stafford land here in the offseason, which is going to be a QB carousel of an offseason?
I think we all have an agreement here. So, Tim, you take the floor.
I think the number one choice for a veteran quarterback landing spot would be Denver. You know, kind of move Drew Locke to the side, bring a veteran in there, a guy like Stafford with those weapons around him. Yeah, Doug, you mentioned, Calvin Johnson, big time receiver. Kenny Golladay's past few years, TJ Hockenson, a young Eric Ebron. But that's kind of really where the list stops. I mean, he's had a couple like role players that had some decent seasons beyond that. You know, Marvin Jones, we're looking at you, but no big time studs. And if you send him to a place like Denver, he's got two tight ends that can play similar to Hockenson. He has Courtland Sutton on one side and Jerry Jeudy on the other. I mean, it just seems like a match made in heaven for me. If it doesn't go there, I'm starting to hear rumors that Philly may be interested as well.
Interesting. Ooh. Tyler, who you got Matthew Stafford? What's your dream scenario for Matt Stafford?
Oh, it's Denver all the way. And it's all because of Jerry Jeudy. I mean, even KJ Hamler, who has the speed to burn, what better arm talent do you want than Stafford? And also, what better arm talent do you want to have Drew Locke learn from, who I actually compare to Stafford? Drew Locke is very comparable to Stafford. It's just he needs to slow the game down. And
don't you think that Locke would be on the move, though?
Maybe. I mean, they've got him for another 2 years.
Because Detroit has a top 10 pick, but who knows what it's going to be available for them.
Yeah, I mean, if Drew Locke is okay with his kneecaps getting bitten off and going to Dan Campbell, sure, that's perfectly fine. Maybe that's the reason why Stafford wants to leave, and that's the reason why he didn't meet with him, because he's like, okay, I've had enough injuries in my career. I don't need
was Dan Campbell talking about their opponents.
That's true, so maybe
Stafford. It's only a matter of time before he turns on them.
That's true. Yeah, that's how cannibalism starts, right?
I said run.
That's cannibalism. We've all read the book Alive.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think Matt Stafford. For me, I like the Denver landing spot as well. It's going to be crazy. I mean, we've got more Deshaun Watson news this week. Apparently, he's put together a list. He's like an NBA player all of a sudden. Like, oh, here's the list where I got traded to. Oh, I have all this power. Cool. And apparently the Jets are at the top of that list. We all know the Jets have the number two pick. So, Tyler, do you see the Jets being like, you know what, we'll give up the number two and, you know, maybe a couple other, maybe another first and some other picks to make a move for Deshaun Watson?
They're the only logical team, but I'm going to be honest with you. It'd be bad for Joe Douglas to do that because they have so many needs. Their needs are crazy, and yet you're willing to give up probably half your draft because you're not going to trade. They're probably not going to want Darnold. Houston's probably going to want to draft Fields and start fresh. Mm-hmm. So the play would be, you know, two. They have another first in the 20s. They'd probably have to give that. They'd give a first in 2022. They'd get a second back in a Darnold trade probably.
Yeah.
And I still think that they need those picks. And I was listening to the Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, and they were even talking like the Jets would have to give up four possible starters from this draft class to get Deshaun Watson when they think that Sam Darnold is a better talent than Tua. And there's talks that Miami wants to keep Tua, and they think they'd rather have Darnold than Tua. Mm-hmm. I just think both teams should stay put. Watson, I'm sorry, but the second you sign that contract, it's going to be hard for you to move on. I think the fact is that Watson's going to stay. I think what Houston needs to do is they need to sign Bieniemy as the head coach and just let Watson be happy. Give him something. Give him something that he wants because you are giving him legit nothing he's asked for. And I'm sorry, but Watson has earned the right to say, hey, I want this. I get he's a little babyish. I get that. He's kind of coming off like a pout. But give him one thing. Yeah, I mean, you took away Hopkins. Give him back something.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of that. I think hiring Bieniemy would help. Although there was, I saw a story out there that it doesn't matter who the head coach is, like he's beyond that or whatever. It seems to me like it's an NBA player situation, which I hate to see in the NFL. I just don't like the copycat type of mentality. And it's a totally different him? League.
Do you think this hurts Watson, like his look? Because he's been known throughout the community as like a good guy and everything. But do you think this kind of hurts his look? Like as
here's the thing. People are going to see what he does in the field and they're not going to care. And I think that happens everywhere. You know, if Deshaun Watson goes to the Niners or where I'd love to see him go to the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Like, you know, if he goes there, like he's going to do his thing in the community there and then he'll be at least happy. So I think he'll be fine. But again, it's like, He's been put in a pretty bad situation, all things considered.
Oh, agreed. Yeah.
But my thing is like you sign the deal, and I understand there's a lot of money sitting in front of you. You're probably not going to refuse it. But at the same time, like if you're not happy, he's probably like, I'll get franchised, and then I can move on after that. So I don't know. It just seems like it's a puzzling situation across the board for me.
If you play for a Texas team and you're a quarterback, it just seems like you're not going to be happy. I mean, the team is just going to completely disown you. I mean, the talk about Dak and Stafford going to Dallas, like, come on. People hate Dak. It's
I don't understand
it. It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Tim, any comments on Deshaun Watson?
Tim loves Dak. He loves the Dak.
I love Dak. I love everything about Dak. He's the best. As far as Stafford, or I'm sorry, not Stafford, but as far as Deshaun goes down there in Houston, it's a really rough situation, and what they're going to ask, it's going to be tough for any team to pull that trigger, to pull that trade off, because you know he's going to bring at minimum three first rounders. So you're talking probably a team that's got multiple first round picks this year and is willing to give up another first next year. And you have to be like a team like San Francisco. They don't have the picks, but they can make that argument that hey, we were in this NFC Championship game, we were in the Super Bowl last year. If we had somebody better than Jimmy, we can go back.
There's like 20 quarterbacks that are that.
The Jets can't make that argument. The Dolphins, I don't think right now can make that argument. I don't think there's too many teams that are QB needy that can make that argument right now. But you did mention San Francisco, and that would be another place I wouldn't mind seeing Stafford go.
Also, the podcast with Todd and Mel, they were talking about Tua and how people are concerned about him. But they also said that the expectation going in with all teams that were drafting Tua was he would not be 100% this whole season. there's going to be a process where he's going to have to let that hip and trust that hip to make plays that he did in college. And they said it should be good now. Like, the year that he had was better than what they would have probably expected.
And I thought he looked good from a mobility standpoint. Like, he scrambled more than I thought he would, and I thought he looked natural. I didn't see anything that caused, like, concern in his movements or anything.
Kid
like
got
that.
Smoked by Darnold his first game or second game, and, I mean, got up just fine.
Yeah. So we did have a couple retirements in the NFL. So Philip Rivers officially hangs it up. He's going to go play with his football team of children from now on. So that's his new team, is Team Rivers.
You're not lying. He said his lifelong dream to be a high school football coach.
Yeah. So Philip Rivers is retired from the league after 17 years or so. Real quick, Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer, yay or nay?
Oh, God. That's close. But if Marino made it without any Super Bowls, Rivers has to have made it.
Rivers will make it, although I think he's in the Hall of Good. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I think his stats will get
top five. He's top five in most quarterbacks.
First off, Marino was a much better quarterback than Philip Rivers.
But stats wise, Rivers passed him.
Stats, Rivers played a long time. He never sat out. I don't care. And he compiled a bunch of stats. Dan Marino's talent is top five all time.
Crimea Rivers.
Dan Marino is an absolute stud quarterback. Philip Rivers is an extremely, extremely good quarterback. He's a very competitive quarterback. One of these rookies that's coming in actually, finished up the quarterbacks this afternoon. Reminds me a little bit of Rivers with his competitiveness. But I think he gets in just because of the stats he's compiled. Mm-hmm. I think he's been extremely good his entire career. Never great.
I would like you to have Dan Marino throw the way Rivers threw and have a career that he did.
Dan Marino can't throw the way Rivers throws because Dan Marino was a god dang on mechanical master.
Yeah. Marino, I do agree. Marino was better and more talented.
Yes.
Rivers as a high school coach, though. Let me go back to that. Imagine that. Would you want to play for him?
Sure. Especially like the first couple years, yeah, the kids are going to be like, oh, I'm playing for a former NFL quarterback. If after like 15 years, he hasn't built a winning program, these kids can be like, oh, this guy's a bum. He must be a washout. They're not going to know who he is. You know,
yeah. So. His name won't carry as much weight. Yeah. Then, what about Matt Stafford to the Colts? Maybe.
There is talk that could happen as well.
That would be.
How about Jacob Eason?
I mean, Michael Pittman, if Stafford went there, I mean, wheels up. He's everybody's buy on Twitter, it seems, Michael Pittman. So if we don't say it, just go on Twitter and you'll hear it.
Just go get Paris Campbell.
Yeah.
He's forgotten about, honestly, Jack Doyle. In a lot of these leagues.
Marlon Mack.
Mo Alleycox.
Marlon Mack. Now, there's a buy.
They're saying they don't know what to do with him. They're not sure.
Because he's an offensive lineman that can play tight end.
Marlon Mack?
That's a good point. Oh, Mo Alleycox.
Oh, no.
Mo Alleycox.
Marlon Mack. The Achilles is
a free agent.
If it wasn't an Achilles, I'd be more positive, but it's an Achilles injury, so.
I'm not surprised if Marlon Mack, like the first like three waves of free agents get signed and Marlon Mack is still on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in Atlanta and just is their running back.
I could see that. Hey, the other retirement, I know this is big news, Vance McDonald. We'll forever have the stiff arm from Vance McDonald.
Yes.
We'll forever have the hype as well.
He had that one good year.
The Ladarius Green type hype.
Yeah, the old prospect, athletic, just never. He had that one good year in Pittsburgh, and that was it. He showed flashes for San Francisco a few times. And
yeah.
Yeah. So Vance McDonald officially retired. So those are the retirements, I believe, from this week, the notable ones. So feel free to drop those players off your roster. Bye-bye. All right, let's get into some players to buy this week. Let's start with...
Greg Olsen. One more.
Oh, yeah, Greg Olsen. I just saw that tonight, actually. Greg Olsen retired after 14 years. He is immediately going to slide into the booth because he is awesome.
Yeah,
he's like Greg great. Olsen is awesome. I love listening to Greg Olsen talk football. It's going to be a pleasure to have him in the booth. I think Drew Brees, too, is probably going to retire, and I think he's going to go on TV as well, and I think he'll be very good at it. Not quite as good as Greg Olsen, because Greg Olsen is very, very good.
Yeah. He'll make Drew money Brees, somewhere. Now Drew Brees' birthmark or mole can disappear because he doesn't need the youth. He doesn't need the youth.
They'll get makeup on it. Boop, boop,
I was gonna
boop.
Say yeah. they'll have professional makeup people doing it before the camera's going.
Yeah, you won't even remember that he had it. That's the whole thing. So let's get into players to buy. I'll go first because I'm in the mood. My player to buy, I've been seeing some dynasty trades go down for this player, and it's Courtland Sutton. So we talked about the quarterback position in Denver. If Matthew Stafford went there, that would be awesome. Even if Drew Lock is there, I'm still going out and buying Courtland Sutton. You know, this is a guy that we thought was going to have a big breakout season, tears his ACL. He's the stereotypical profile alpha receiver. You know, we saw what Jerry Jeudy did in that role as the number one for Denver. Ton of air yards. I think he was top 10 in the NFL in air yards in his rookie year. You know, the targets were there. I think when Courtland Sutton comes back, he's obviously going to get the majority of the work. Jeudy will still be involved, as will Hamler and Fant. But Sutton to me is an alpha receiver that can be a maybe a back-end wide receiver one if his ceiling is reached. And to get him at the price he's going at, right, we could probably get Courtland Sutton in most leagues for maybe early to mid-second. I think mid-second would get him in some leagues, to be honest.
I've tried.
You've tried?
I've tried for 204, and it was denied. And it was a hard no. So okay. I think it had to be a first.
I think it also depends on the owner.
Sure. I think, you know, someone's going to be like, oh, well, I didn't get anything from him last year. Like, I don't know what's going on with that offense. Like, Jeudy's there. Like, you could paint a picture where people would be down on Courtland Sutton. And I think if you can identify those owners in the leagues that you're in, you know, send out some feelers for Sutton. Maybe you start with a mid-second. And then maybe if you have a late first or an early second, then maybe that gets the job done. But I would start with a mid-second because that's not necessarily an offensive offer. So you could start with that, and maybe it's a mid-second plus a player or another, like a third round pick, to get the deal done. So I think that's a good starting point to try to acquire Sutton, who I think is a strong buy. Tore his ACL really early in the season, should be back 100%. And then if a quarterback like a Matt Stafford goes there or an Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, oh, that's right, I said it. Then you know, Sutton's value is immediately going to spike. So I think that's a really good move to make right now. So let's go to Tim and his player to buy this week.
My player to buy, and this is going to be a rough sell, but is Carson Wentz.
What?
Yeah. The Eagles, we didn't do this in the news, but the Eagles have hired their head coach, their next head coach, Nick Sirianni.
Thank God it wasn't McDaniels. I'm so happy for you guys. Yes. It wasn't McDaniels or Gase.
When the McDaniels talk started getting really heavy here in the Philadelphia area, I kind of just started to tune out. I was like, oh my God, we're going to do this. I didn't know much about Coach Nick here, but he's also kind of under the Andy Reid umbrella. So we're sticking with guys that we know from secondhand experience, essentially. He gets good marks from the people we trust in the process. So studying under Frank Reich, hopefully he works out. I understand he wasn't a play caller, but right away he was reaching out to Carson, and it seems like the front office and the ownership is in the Carson camp. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that part of this head coaching search was really, hey, what do you think about Carson? What did you see this year? What do you think we need to do? How can we get him better? So be it in Philadelphia, they will pay special attention to getting Carson right. Or if they decide to go elsewhere, because like I said, there's rumors that Stafford could possibly be coming to Philly. If that's the case, then at least Carson is out the door and he goes somewhere else where I think he's at least going to get a fresh start and hopefully some good coaching, possibly land back in Indy with Frank.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, do you think Frank was like, okay, Nick, give this letter to Carson and it's just an I love you note, like miss you? I that could have happened. I mean, give this to Carson. Tell him that.
Yeah, Nick wasn't actually there for the interview. They were just, you know, he was there to give that note to Carson. And they're like, hey, who are you? Oh, I'm Nick Sirianni with the Indianapolis Colts. Like, oh, yeah, you must be here for the interview. Yeah. Come on in.
You're the 4 o'clock, right? Okay.
Yeah. And he just walked in, nailed an interview that he wasn't there for.
Yeah.
And
Tim, what are you giving up to acquire Carson Wentz in Superflex leagues that you're comfortable with right now?
In a Superflex league, I'm going to try for that mid-second.
We're creeping into the first round now with all the news coming in. You're creeping.
He's a guy that's played at the MVP level for about a season and a half. We saw him have. We also saw a lot of Derek Carr for that one season, But we saw that upside of him. I hope we've seen his floor now. So where he's going to live is somewhere in between.
You can't go lower.
I mean, you can, but God, I hope that's not the case.
Don't go full Cam Newton.
Yeah. So let's start with that mid-second. I'm not going to give up a first at this point. I'll give up that early second if I have to and hope that whatever they decide to do with him or wherever he goes and that coaching staff decides to do with him, it works and it sticks. And, you know, he can make a couple changes to his game and get back on the right track.
Okay, let me ask you some quarterbacks. Would you rather have Zach Wilson or Carson Wentz?
Wilson.
Not knowing landing spots. Yeah, I'll say Wilson.
Would Kyle Trask or Carson Wentz?
Wentz.
Mac Jones or Carson Wentz?
Wentz.
Okay. Trey Lance or Carson Wentz?
Lance. One North Dakotan for another.
Yeah.
Let me look at my scorecard here. I'm going to go Carson Wentz.
Okay. I'm probably in the same boat except for Trey Lance. I think
it's close.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Carson Wentz is worth the first rounder then?
And honestly, with Zach Wilson, it is purely landing spot dependent because I think Carolina is the only spot I would like Wilson in. If I think since Joe Brady's back at coordinator there, Zach Wilson can actually get the best out of Wilson. So I do think that would matter for him. I'm not a big Wilson fan. I have Lance ahead of him. So that is kind of where I'm at in my quarterback landscape, which we'll start after the Super Bowl. We'll start talking about these rookies.
Yeah.
Teaser here. I have Wilson very close to Trevor. Wilson's got the best arm in the class. You come up with a game of horse for these quarterbacks. Wilson's making throws that these other guys can't make.
I don't see it.
Let's save that debate for another day. Tyler, who is your buy now?
Speaking of quarterbacks that not a lot of people were fans of or the draft pick, Jordan Love is my buy. I really like the transition that Jordan Love made from pre-draft process to combine.
To clipboard holder?
His combine was awesome. His throws were on the mark. He showed off the arm talent. His form was magnificent. I loved what I saw. And then he went to Green Bay, and people were kind of wondering what's going on. Well, now Rodgers lost this game. And the interview...
Did he lose it?
I mean, his coach did that. He was not particularly in good... You know, they weren't friends. They were just colleagues before this game. And then this game happened. Rodgers looks like he is ready to burn the world down after this game.
That's typical pouty Rodgers, though. Like.
But, I mean, there's a lot of people close that were in the locker room that even said, this looks like and sounds like a man that is done with this team.
Were they saying Aaron or were they saying Rodgers? Because if it's Aaron, it could be Jones.
Both. Because, I mean, he's not going to be with the team. This team has cap situations they need to figure out. And getting rid of Rodgers will actually help that cap situation. If they did that, they can keep a lot of these players that are free agents. Jordan Love, I think a lot of people think that Jordan Love is just a wasted pick. It's not. They take a quarterback in the first round. He's going to start sooner than later. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They need to find out what this guy is so they can build a team around this rookie contract that they have. And that's what teams are doing. Like the Rams, they could afford players, and now look at them. Like they were better this year, but with Goff's big contract, I mean, they keep.
Or the Eagles with Wentz, same thing.
They keep restructuring these contracts because they're drowning. And you look at the Patriots with Brady. I mean, he didn't make much, but I mean, it was all backloaded. And once that thing started coming in, they couldn't afford anybody.
Yeah, they had a $13 million dead cap hit for him this year.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the team, so yeah.
Yeah.
And you can only push it down the road so far.
Exactly. And with Rodgers, if he just seems like he's not getting along with LaFleur, you've got this really athletic kid behind him in Jordan Love who I still like. I think has great arm talent. I think the year probably helped him. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Rodgers probably helped him that much. But learning by seeing can help a lot. And I think Jordan Love is somebody that could have helped. I mean, you're going to have Devontae Adams on that team. If Jordan Love is the starter and all these rumors that are already floating around are true, and say Rodgers goes to Denver, like our boy Chase predicted midseason, said, you know, Rodgers is going to go to Denver. I mean, I love that for both sides. I've got a lot of Jordan Love shares that I'd love to see what I've got. And I have a lot of Jerry Jeudy shares that he could be the Devontae Adams style receiver that Rodgers loves to throw to. And then you got Cortland Sutton, who's the MBS Alan Lazard style receiver combined into one. And then you got, you know,
but better.
Yeah. I mean better. That's why I said combined into one. Cause MBS has speed and Lazard has a big body and mm-hmm. can get those jump balls. And then, I mean, he's got Noah Fant. You got Melvin Gordon behind you. And then the offensive line played so much better this year. I mean, they're Garrett Bowles, who sucked for like 4 years, got a huge extension this year because he played
be the out most of his, improved player in the NFL. Yeah, like honestly,
played yeah. out of his mind this year. So yeah, Denver would be an amazing landing spot for either Stafford or Rodgers. But Jordan Love is the man that you could get for dirt cheap in one quarterback super flex. It doesn't matter. Jordan Love is a guy that is forgotten, and I think a lot of people still are going to be like, no, there's no way Rodgers is gone. There is a way.
I mean, how many times have we seen a player, or especially a quarterback, win the MVP award, which I think Aaron Rodgers is going to take home, and then not be on that team next year? Has that ever happened?
I mean, the year Alex Smith had before Mahomes was the closest, I think, because everybody was thinking it's crazy they're going to bring Mahomes in as a starter and trade away Alex Smith, because Alex Smith had a heck of a season and took the Chiefs very deep into the playoffs. And then they lost, and they're like, well, we're going to have Pat Mahomes as our starter.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and look and see if they're the MVP award winners if they switch teams the year after that. Because I don't think it's happened at the quarterback position. So that would be
the quarterback.
It would be a bold move.
Yeah, the quarterback moves that are happening this year are nuts to me.
It's going to really shake up Superflex leagues, yeah. which is a perfect transition for us to get into. So with all this uncertainty, we want to talk a little bit about startups around the quarterback position, single QB strategy versus super flex strategy. I've done a little bit of both in startups, and I can tell you that there's benefits either way, and I'm sure we're going to talk about them on how to build a team. Because like for me, not to put the cart in front of the horse, like when I'm building a team in a super flex league, the way I look at super flex is with two QBs are super important. But what I've been learning over the years is that there's so many good players. There's like a Stephon Diggs, or you can draft like the QB 18. Like, I understand having quarterbacks is important, but you can also build a roster and not necessarily have to start two quarterbacks and be successful. So I think that's something that'll probably be part of the conversation that we're going to have. But Tyler, I want you to kick us off and give us like just an overview on what your thoughts are around single QB strategy versus superflex.
Quarterbacks. And I mean, that's the main thing with superflex and non-superflex, so one quarterback, is trying to get the quarterback value up. Because in non-superflex one quarterback leagues, you see like a guy like Trevor, he might make the first round in rookie drafts, but more than likely he'll be an early second or the championship.
He'll make the first round in rookie drafts. And
the championship team who might have been riding Breeze for years and years, or Brady, it would be like, okay, it's time to pass the torch. Yeah, I could see that. But in superflex leagues, it's 101. You get a chance at a young quarterback like Doug in UDPL. You've got Burrow. You've got the 101. I've tried to pry the 101 from you. I've even offered Justin Jefferson plus for Trevor Lawrence. And you said no. And that's smart, because once you have – the thing is that I have figured out, and it's kind of blown my mind this year. I haven't done it more often, is it's cheaper to acquire a draft pick than it is to acquire the actual quarterback once he's on the team.
Once there's a name associated to that pick, it is much harder.
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying for other players in this league this was before the Rodgers news came out, and I have Jordan Love in my taxi, so there's a chance I might just say screw it, maybe get a guy like Mac Jones at 109, something like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I've tried for Watson, and it's and my main pieces are AJ Brown and Jefferson. Now this is how expensive quarterbacks are in Superflex leagues with like industry people, and it's insane. It's impossible. Like for Watson, I had to give Swift and Jefferson. For Kyler Murray, it was AJ Brown 109 plus another player, and it's like, okay, or I could take 109. And I could probably give Jefferson for Trevor Lawrence, who'd probably be worth three first after he's drafted. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to trade up in a draft and take one of these quarterbacks than it is to wait till they're drafted and then say, okay, now I'm going to go after him, because you're going to be paying probably double, maybe even triple the price you would have.
Yeah, it's like that present that you have that's wrapped up, but once you open it and you see what it is, like you don't like you cherish it more. Like, you know what I mean?
It's the opposite of a used truck. It's an opposite of a new truck. So, and a new truck, you buy it once it's off the lot. The second your tires hit off the lot, it's lowered in value by mm-hmm. at least what, 30%, 40%?
Probably.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite of Superflex. I mean, that 101 sitting there, you drive it off the lot by picking Trevor Lawrence, boom, you're doubling your price.
Yeah. Tim, what are your thoughts on startups around the quarterback position?
Well, for me it's kind of dependent on draft position as well. If I'm in the first three picks, yeah, I'm probably hammering one of those quarterbacks to start my draft, because by the time it goes up and back, you're not going to get a top tier quarterback. You're not getting one of those top five guys. And in these, you know, in this scoring setting, that quarterback position does make a big difference. So if you have the draft position in order to get one of those guys, you have to you know, pull that trigger. You have to get those guys. But Doug, you mentioned we had a draft last year. I want to say, maybe it was 2 years mm-hmm. ago at this point, where you made that decision where you were kind of, I can't remember if you were sitting on the 101. Or, okay. And yeah. You went after building, I'm going to build a young roster of talented players.
Yep.
And guess what? If I bust out, I'm going to be in a top three draft spot. And guess what? I'll go get myself the top rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah. And I actually went, so just to circle around on that, I had the 101 and I took McCaffrey. I took my first quarterback in the, was it beginning seventh of the round. Third round? I took Tua Tagovailoa. And then I waited. My second quarterback was Cam Newton. This one is when he was a free agent. I got him after pick 100. Mm-hmm. I took Jameis Winston super late. I took Jacob Eason really late. Like, I took Nick Mullins really late because I was like, you know what? Like, Nick Mullins could get some run. Maybe he'd be, you know, whatever. At that point, I'm just taking QBs that I may have a little bit of upside. But I built that roster with McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, Noah Fant. Like, I've got great pieces across that roster. Now, obviously, if Tua grows into something great, my team actually went 6-7, which I didn't think it was going to be good at all. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to build this roster and get a top three pick and pick a quarterback and do it that way. Now, it didn't quite end up that way. But I'll still have a top half of the draft pick, and I can get maybe a Trey Lance or someone like that in the middle of that first round, and I'll be happy with that. So it just goes to show that you can build rosters in all sorts of different ways. I think probably the way that I'm most comfortable in Superflex is if I have a top five pick, I have no problems spending it on a quarterback. Then I'm probably going to wait a little bit and take a quarterback from another tier, because if I get like a Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Murray, one of those top five guys, even a Dak, I feel pretty secure about maybe matching him with a Kirk Cousins later, or a Stafford, or someone like that, and then kind of load up at some of the positions. You know, running backs are obviously going to go heavy. It's usually quarterbacks and running backs are like the first positions that are pretty depleted in these leagues. So if I can take a quarterback in the first, take a running back maybe in the second and third, and then maybe see what best player available is and circle back to a quarterback, I have no problems doing that. I try to build a balanced team. The thing that I try to avoid, and what I see in a lot of startups, is the people that draft quarterback and quarterback and quarterback and quarterback, and they load up on quarterbacks. Now, look, I get it. They're trying to create the demand to trade them down the road. And I don't know that always necessarily pays off. Tyler, what's your thoughts on that?
I can't do it. I've got a weird OCD type itch when I do that. Like if I draft four quarterbacks, I'm trading two of them before the draft is over. Like there's no question about it. And the issue is they know you need other positions just like you know they need a quarterback. So despite the value, thinking you're gonna get more value, I don't think the value is gonna change. I think if you're gonna do that strategy, you've got to wait till in season when people are like, oh crap, I really don't have a quarterback.
Or there's an injury that happens like a couple years ago and like quarterbacks were dropping like flies.
Yep. And then you've got to be okay with taking a little more overvalue. You can't try to lock this price up in your head that you think they're going to go for, because that's what's going to get you stuck with four or five quarterbacks on your roster throughout the whole season. You can't sit there and say, no, this is what I need, and that's what I'm going to take. Like, you have to be okay with taking, you should get a little more than what you paid for them, but you shouldn't expect the moon, because there are other ways of getting points from the Superflex League. Like, say you only have one quarterback. If you have another running back that can get you 16 points, that's fine. I mean, 16 points is better.
It could be a JD McKissick for all we know. Like that happens. Like, it could be a guy out of nowhere that's like, all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I don't need a second quarterback because I've got this guy scoring.
But for me, the safety of having two solidified quarterbacks, two young quarterbacks under 30, if I can get those in, and Tim knows my strategy, first two rounds, if I'm in the middle of the draft, if I'm 106, 107, 108, I would love to knock down two young quarterbacks and just, that's it. Two young quarterbacks, take your third in the later rounds that has upside, maybe an older guy that nobody is even watching, go that route and then hit my other things later. Well, everybody else is taking Drew Lock in the fourth or fifth round, Sam Darnold in the fifth round.
That will push value down to you. If you get them out of the way, then you're going to be getting really good players in the third, fourth, and fifth round, because at that point, 20 or so or more quarterbacks are gone.
Yeah, like
so
in
you are going to see value slide down to you that way.
Yeah, in that draft that we're talking about, I took Kyler, and then I turned around and I took Dak, which then I traded Dak to Tim for Justin Herbert and Jefferson. And it was a trade I absolutely hated when we did the trade. Remember that? I got Barkley. Who did you got? Kenyon Drake, you got AJ Brown and Dak, and I got Herbert, Barkley, and Justin Jefferson. And I hated that deal after I pulled the trigger. I was like, oh God, why would I do this?
You don't hate it now.
You don't hate it now.
I do not hate it. I love that trade. I absolutely do. But yeah, I mean, if I could, in the first round, if I could get a guy like Herbert and then turn around and even get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who I could get at the beginning of the second, middle second, people don't realize that these young quarterbacks are going to be sought after a ton. Like in UDPL, I've got Big Ben and Tua. And there was a moment of panic for about a week sitting here like, what am I going to do at quarterback? Big Ben isn't himself. Maybe he can come back. Tua, and there's like little creeps of doubt. Like, is Tua the answer? And I'm sitting here struggling. I was going to overpay to move up to the draft. But you know what? Maybe just starting one quarterback and having this good, like really good receiving core and young running back core is fine with me. And it's just, if you don't have any quarterbacks, it sucks, and you're going to have to pay. And that's where the cheapest way you're going to get them is in the draft, and you got to hit on them. I mean, Mahomes was an early second round pick. Josh Allen was an early second round pick.
Early Herbert to mid
second,
man.
In the third at times.
Yeah, and in rookie drafts, this is what I'm talking about. Like, in rookie drafts, there's guys like Dak that went in the fourth round, third round.
Yeah.
Like, you can, if you have a third or fourth round pick, and you have a guy that has an older, like with Eason, Doug was all about Eason last year. If you have somebody like that that has arm talent and has upside, go ahead and take him in the fourth round, because if they hit, they're going to hit.
Especially
hard.
When they got got an older quarterback in front of them. Like, you just never know. Like, yeah. I'm willing to pay that price for sure.
Tyler, you make a great point there, especially in Superflex leagues. In your rookie drafts, I mean, we started off by talking the startup, but in your rookie drafts,
if you get to that third round and there's not a running back, a tight end, receiver, like this draft class, for instance, very top heavy. You get to that third round, there may not be a skill guy that you're just in love with at that
Jalen
spot.
Hurts.
Go ahead and take your favorite quarterback left in the class, because if they hit the field, they have a meteoric rise in value automatically the week that it's announced they're going to start. So right then you can make that decision. You know, I thought at the time he was probably the best pick to make. I don't trust him to be a long-time starter. I'll take what I can for him now. Or you end up, you know, in a situation with Herbert where he gets drafted by the Chargers. He's not supposed to be the starter anytime soon. Bad pregame medical staff injury takes the starter out. And, you know, it was wheels up for Herbert at that point. So, you know, if you were that owner that in the third round said, you know, I got Patrick Mahomes and I got Deshaun Watson and I got Phillip Rivers as my quarterbacks. I really don't need one, but that Herbert kid looked like he was okay at Oregon. Let me go take a shot on him. Now all of a sudden you're stacked up at quarterback, and that's when people do come calling.
And I think the thing too in single quarterback leagues, what I always try to do, we typically have like a 4 or 5 round draft. Yeah. I always try to take one quarterback. Like,
same.
For instance, perfect example, single QB this year. I tried to trade back into the draft in the beginning of the fourth round. I didn't have any picks left. I tried to trade back into the 402 because I wanted Justin Herbert. So I was like, you know what? Like, I have Dak, I have Baker, and that was it at quarterbacks. So I'm like, you know what? Dak's in like the last year of his deal. It's a contract year league. So I was like, you know what? I'd love to add a young quarterback onto this roster. So I tried to make a deal for the 402. I didn't get it done. My cousin Christopher takes Justin Herbert, and obviously your Herbert pays off huge. So I always try to, in a single QB, especially if you have the roster spots, I always try to take one of those guys, because guys like Justin Herbert, whose average ADP in Superflex was probably like 108,
yeah,
107.
It was so low.
Yeah, 107, 108, and single QB, his ADP was like late third, early fourth. Like, I always try and get that guy. In this particular league, it's a 6-point passing touchdown league too. So quarterbacks reign supreme, even though it's only single QB, they score so many more points than other positions. That I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to try to be savvy here and get into the draft. I wasn't able to get into that spot, unfortunately. But it never hurts to, because that's where there's just a ton of value in single QB leagues. And I think in single QB startups, it's really interesting. When would you feel most secure taking your first QB in a single quarterback startup?
In a single QB startup, I wait until I'm pretty uncomfortable. Okay. I'm trying to build that running back.
You're playing
receiver.
Chicken with the people in front of you. You're like, don't take him.
Yeah, I'm normally one of the last three, GMs here taking a quarterback to come off the board as my first quarterback, because in a single QB, it diminishes the quarterback value so much, because your ability to only start one, the rest of your team's value is so largely dependent on that week to week and matchup based. Opponents for your receivers and your running back. So I'm trying to just line up stud after stud after stud in those spots. So round 8 is probably about the first time I'm truly looking at the quarterback spot and saying, like, hey, are one of these like top 15 guys still out here? Did everybody kind of miss on one of these guys? Let me go grab that guy quick. If not, round 9, round 10, that's probably the sweet spot. I'm looking to get in there. See if I can't get one of the older guys. I'll take that, Mr. Dependable. I'll take a Phillip Rivers. I'll take a Matt Stafford as my first quarterback, and then I'll start going with some younger guys after that.
Yeah, I think it's very much a redraft mentality around single QB leagues. It's like, you know what? There's some people that are going to take the Mahomes and Lamar maybe in the third, and then there's going to be like your Kylers, your Josh Allens a little bit later, and then you're going to wait a while, and then it's going to be around like 8 or 9 between like Russell Wilsons and guys like that start to come off the board. So I agree with that. And again, great value for young quarterbacks in single QB leagues, where you can get them like a Justin Herbert in a startup last year was probably like, God, double digit rounds easy.
I got Herbert at 301 in a rookie draft in a league that is going super flex, not this year, but next year. So I got Herbert at 301. Okay. So that value is going to skyrocket next year because super flex. Like, and I'm in a position where I have Darnold as my second. I have 102. Do I take a receiver, which is another need, or do I draft a guy like Justin Fields, which will solidify my quarterback position for the next how many years, and I'm good. I'm good to go.
It's hard not to. It's hard not to take a quarterback in that spot because they are so valuable in Superflex. It's like the like you said. Like I had to pay Juju Smith-Schuster when he was hot in the streets.
Yeah,
coming off like a 1,500 yard year plus a first round pick for Cam Newton a couple years ago. Like that's the price that you have to pay, especially if you're competing. And I was. And it was like, you know what? Like, this is the move I got to make. It didn't work out for me, whatever. But it that's the kind of moves that, like, these quarterbacks, once you have them, that's, you know, the reason, like, Tyler and I made that trade and I got Joe Burrows because my quarterbacks on my roster, Alex Smith, who I ended up trading for a third-round pick and something else, and then I had Jimmy Garoppolo, I had Big Ben, and hopes and dreams, more or less. So I needed to get – and I had Cam Newton.
And you had and you had your pick, and you weren't competing. You wanted to try for Trevor. I mean, you were hopelessly not tanking. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, that's true. So now that like Tyler, we made this trade. I've got Joe Burrow. Now the prospect of having Burrow and Trevor Lawrence on my team for the next
a dream
80 billion years, and I have good pieces on the team too. So it's like, you know what? If I can solidify that position and put it in the do not worry about thing for years to come, I'll be able to build. Through the draft, and plus the pieces I already have on my roster, like the Aaron Joneses, the Joe Mixons, the Cortland Suttons, you know, some other guys on that roster. Like, I have a solid roster, and now that that foundation is super concrete, like, I can start to build in the years going forwards drafts, and I feel that I'll be competitive again as early as next year, and then hopefully maybe build, like, a little dynasty thing going on where I can be, like, super competitive for a handful of years.
You know,
that's the goal.
And that, I'll piggyback on that. Tight ends in tight end premium. I want a young, good tight end. And like it, tight end and quarterback. If I've got one of those young guys, I can like for super flex, two stud young quarterbacks. I don't have to worry about it for years. One amazing stud at tight end. I don't have to worry about it. I traded a lot for Hockenson in the same league, UDPL. I gave up a decent amount for Hockenson. You won't know why. I don't have to worry about it for years. I can just sit there and say, I've got Hockenson. I've got this young guy. I can just roll with him for the next 4 to 5 years and be okay. I don't have to even worry about it. Like, I have 109. I don't have to sit here and sweat and hope Kyle Pitts falls to me, which is damn near impossible to even think that he drops me. But
right, tight end premium, he's not getting the nine.
I mean, no. In this league, there's a chance, but no. And it's right. It's the same thing as quarterbacks. If you've got a chance to get a quarterback, and we should have learned our lesson by now. Like, Daniel Jones may have not been a great quarterback, but he is a very valuable piece in super flex leagues. He is worth more than a first. He was going in the early second round in super flex rookie drafts. Josh Allen, I think he went 203 in ours, and now he's now he's untouchable. I mean, these guys, if you have a chance to take a quarterback that was a first round quarterback in the early seconds, you run to that pick and you take it because there is a very good chance that pick rises in value a ton within the next 6 months. And if you want to trade it, trade it. Trade that player for a first plus, and then you gained value. Like, you got him in the early second. If you get a first plus a second, which is probably the going price for a starting quarterback in super flex leagues, you've got your value back plus more, and that's what you want to do.
I think this is the year in tight end premium leagues. If you have a second round pick, you're feeling pretty good about it if you have needs at the tight end position. We all know Kyle Pitts is going to go in the first round.
That's pretty much
a done deal. But you've got guys like Brevin Jordan. You've got the kid from Penn State, Freiermuth.
Freiermuth. I think he sounds like a Canadian moose.
You've got this tight end class reminds me a lot of 2017. And we saw tight ends in tight end premium. I took David Njoku in a couple of tight end premium leagues towards the end of the first round. You had your OJ Howards, Evan Ingrams. And I think people in fantasy are just kind of sour on the tight end position as a whole because it is so top heavy with 4 to 5 really good options and then kind of a mixed bag after that week to week. That it's going to push value down, especially because you have so many quarterbacks this year. You have a deep wide receiver class. Running backs aren't terrible. I mean, it's a little top heavy. But when you get to that mid-second round, like, there's going to be some really good value there, much like there was last year. Not necessarily at the tight end position, but your LaViscas, your Pittmans, your T. Higgins, your Ayuks, Claypools, like all those guys were like after the 205 for the most part. And I think, in especially in tight end premium formats, if you have a mid-second or later, you're going to be able to get probably a top three tight end out of that, I would think.
Yeah.
Not Pitts, but someone else. So like looking at the UDPL, I have the 101. I have the 204.
You're going
I have
Pitts.
The 209. I'll go Pitts. Put the league on its ear.
Oh, my God. I would die. I would absolutely die.
I don't have onions that size to pull that off. But at 204 and 209, I've been starting to think about, like, you know, where things might fall. And I'm like, I might be in a pretty good position at that 209 to grab a tight end, possibly. Or 204, if someone slips down, maybe grab a quarterback even. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good position to be in. Except, you know, the bad position is when you trade a second-round pick for N'Keal Harry and that second-round pick ends up being 201.
But then that person trades the second-round pick for a trade he has no idea what it was.
Borf.
I make so many damn trades. But I want to ask you guys a question. We're kind of getting short on time. You have 10 picks in a Superflex draft. Don't name a player. Name the position, your perfect strategy. So say first round quarterback or running back. Like say your perfect draft in a Superflex league, your first 10 picks.
In a startup?
In a startup. Do you want me to go first and kind of explain?
I'll go.
Okay.
I would say if I'm top half of the first round, I'm taking a quarterback.
Just say you're 105. We're all 105.
105. All right. 105, I'm taking a quarterback. In a 12-team league, I'm probably going to follow it up with a running back because I think there's probably going to be really good options there in the second round. Third round, best player available. Whether it's a wide receiver or a running back, I'm just going to go best player available on my board. Round four, I'm probably going to go back to the quarterback well because at that point in round four, you're probably looking at the QB 18
in
to 21.
In some drafts, I was going to say 20, 22.
Sure, but I'm going to be okay with a guy in that slot. If it's a Kirk Cousins or someone like that, perfectly fine with that. Or Baker Mayfield, maybe people are down on him. Like I'm perfectly fine with that. And then I'm probably just going to hammer best available wide receiver running back the rest of the way.
So in that draft, where are you going to take a tight end and tight end premium?
In tight end premium? If I can't get one of the, say, top five guys, like say my cutoff is like Andrews, Hockenson. If I can't get any one of those guys, I'm probably just going to play, I would say after round probably seven, I would probably start to do just best player available regardless of position. I'm the tight end whisperer, so I'm not going to press to put a tight end on my roster because I know there's going to be guys late in the draft that I can get.
You know, every time you say that, I legit just imagine you going up to a pair of Levi jeans and be like, "Hey, how are you? You're going to give me 10 points a week in tight end premium. Come with me." All right, exactly. Tim.
Tim, how are you approaching it?
So at the 105, I'm going to take that quarterback in first round. Same thing as Doug in that second. I'm going to hammer that tight end or the running back. I'm sorry.
Because, ooh.
like this year from that 105 in a quarterback premium, you were seeing guys like Chubb coming back to you, essentially. So I'm going to take the running back. Doug, you almost got me with your acting out there. Nice. At the 105 in that second round turn, I'm going to take that running back. Round three, it's dependent on the quarterbacks. If we're looking at Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, I'll probably take a quarterback there because I don't want to see what the next go around is going to look like.
Oof. That next go around. I mean,
those weights can be brutal.
I mean, there's the thing is, if rookies are included, there's a chance somebody good will come back to you. But last year, in my experience, like guys like Sam Darnold and Drew Lock are there in the fourth round, and you've got to snag them. And Daniel Jones could be there, but he's pretty much lumped in with those guys.
Well, it's you're mentioning if the rookies are there, I might take another best player available and then go to the fourth, and I'm either then going to decide between do I want this Sam Darnold, hopefully with a new and better coaching staff, or am I going to take, whichever rookies left that I like the best?
Like a Zach Wilson probably would compare well to Darnold in that range.
And if we're throwing that tight end premium here, after that, is when I'm, man, hey, I can't believe nobody snagged TJ Hockenson yet. I'm going to go and grab myself TJ Hockenson.
Oh, he's going third or fourth round this year.
If not, I'm going to just continue to build that running back wide receiver core. And like Doug just said, every year there's that guy that kind of seems like he comes out of nowhere. So that rounds 15 through like 20, I'll probably snag three tight ends there. Hope one of those guys is one of those guys. That's probably up. Round 9 or 10 is where I'm going to go out and get myself. I'm trying to think of a middling tight end I could grab.
Donald Parham. Austin Hooper. Josh Oliver. Kahale Warren.
Austin Hooper. Harrison Bryant.
In that round 9 area, yeah, I'll be looking for a name like an Austin Hooper. And then when I get to like round 15 to round 18, yeah, I'm going to go out and grab the Parhams of the world and hope I can see some sort of value increase.
Who's that tight end that Dallas had that is forgotten? Is that
Jarwin?
Yeah, Jarwin. I mean, he could be a good play and then draft Dalton Schultz later on. I mean, you can, like with the Cleveland situation, get a Hooper with a Harrison Bryant and combine those two. So you have that tight end group.
You have Harrison Hooper.
Yeah, Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. That's a great combo to have because Irv is going to probably break out here soon.
Well, Rudolph's going
to
be.
Any leagues I had Kyle Rudolph in, I was pushing to get myself some Irv because the two of them, you know, side by side aren't really great. You see the upside flash from Irv from time to time, but you know eventually, A, Rudolph's out, or B, if Rudolph gets injured, it's Irv time, baby, and I'm there from the beginning.
Every time I see
Tyler Conklin time, let's go.
Every time I hear Irv, I just imagine an old basketball player for some reason.
Yeah. Well, Julius Irving.
That could be it.
Could be.
Probably.
Tyler Conklin. Let's go.
All right.
See you later.
My strategy, Tim knows it. It's quarterback. I'm getting those quarterbacks out of the way. I'm going to make sure I get two younger ones below 30. Maybe Russ if I have to, like, if I have an early, like, 101. I have
for the first 12 games of the season, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. I mean, hopefully Dan Campbell doesn't play him anytime soon because when Russ cooks, he doesn't need to cook his own kneecaps.
It's true.
But it's quarterback, and for startups, I like to get that solidified receiver because they usually fall because everybody's running back, quarterback. That third round is always top five receivers left, like a Tyreek Hill I can go get. And there's Jefferson, the younger receivers probably won't be there, but I mean, I'm going to get possibly Devontae Adams. He fell this year. I saw multiple startups where
he's not falling this year.
No. I mean, maybe. He is older, so there's a chance. But the third round, I'm going to hit receiver, fourth round receiver. If it's tight end premium, the fourth round or fifth round are probably what I'm looking at for tight ends. I'm looking at a Hawk. I'm looking at a Noah Fant. Or I'm looking at just going to get Kyle Pitts. And that's where I'm going to go. But then after that, I'm probably going to go zero running backs in startups. And that's like I'm going to hit wide receivers hard. Maybe go for younger guys with upside. Maybe
So you're looking at like at this point in a draft, you're probably looking at like Devin Singletary, Leonard Fournette.
I mean, I'd go
Jamal Williams.
I'd go James Williams, White,
Malcolm Brown, Zach Moss.
I'd maybe try to go for like an AJ Dillon. Reach a little bit for AJ Dillon. Some younger guys with upside that have a chance.
At that point, you're probably set up to, I mean, you could probably still wait another couple of rounds, but like an Alexander Mattison.
Yeah.
You know, you get that guy that, hey, I can't start him every week, but if something happens, then all of a sudden I can. So.
Yeah. And if rookies are involved, I'd go for younger rookies in the sixth or seventh round for running backs, like a Gainwell. I would try to shoot for. And I mean, running backs are so difficult in startups because if you aren't going for it right away, if you're kind of thinking, okay, in a year or two, then my team is just, it's locked in. If you're going that route, running backs, you should kind of fade. But if you're going all in, yeah, I mean, maybe quarterback, running back would probably be the route I'd go. But then by the fourth round, you're looking at, I mean, maybe a Javonte Williams if you're looking at rookies. And then if you're not looking at rookies, there's a chance Swift could be there, but I highly doubt it. I mean, he would maybe be a third rounder.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that. Maybe it's an Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, maybe go Swift and Gibson because that would be a tremendous backfield.
Yeah, that would be real nice. So I think that is just about going to wrap up our quarterback, Superflex, and single QB. Little strategy startup talk and mixed in with a little bit of tight end premium. There's this little sprinkle on top. This tight end's not quite as difficult to kind of navigate as a quarterback can be.
If you whisper to him like you do, not hard at all.
If you whisper to him, then they just score points for you, and then they score points for you, and then you flip them for a profit. That's wash, rinse, repeat, the Doug Eddy style.
Just like the jeans those tight ends wear.
That's right. And they sometimes wear down fast, especially if you wear them every day.
Yeah.
Who wears jeans every day? I don't know.
Who washes jeans all the time? I mean, you're not supposed to.
I don't wash them after every wear.
Yeah.
God, no. Who does that? You're a psycho if you do that.
Yeah.
Who wants that? I wear them at least a couple times before I wash them. I give them the visual inspection, make sure there's nothing, and I'm like, all right, I'm good.
It kind of depends on what I've been doing. Today, I was outside doing a little bit of work, but I was in sweatpants, throwing some jeans, run out to the grocery store quick. Those jeans ain't getting washed. I was at the grocery store for 20 minutes.
I mean, Doug wears yoga pants anyways most of the time. So
it's true. I'm all about the manto, Tyler. I got to do what I got to do.
The moose knuckle.
Hey, if you got it, flaunt it, as they say. That is going to wrap us up this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. Make sure you check out our sponsor, Trophy Smack. Use code DHHRING. Recently featured on Shark Tank. Bunch of awesome guys running a great company, so make sure you support them. All your trophy, grill, belt needs. I'll have a belt here soon. I'll show it off to the world once I get it. So I'm excited for that. So code DHHRING again for Trophy Smack. That is going to wrap us up this week. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tyler. Once again, I've been your host, Doug Eddy, and we will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.